You're listening to the Men's Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Hello, men. Welcome back to the podcast. It's Pastor John here. We are going to be kicking off a new series today, and I'm really excited about it. It's an idea that I've kind of been chewing on for a couple of months now, something that I wanted to do. We're going to take some passages that are probably, if you grew up in the church, familiar to you. Some of the more famous passages, if you will, and I'm calling the series Not So Fast. I think we've all heard the phrase, familiarity breeds contempt. You know, the idea is the more familiar you become with something, the more used to it you get, you tend to take it for granted. You don't appreciate it. And so in this series, we're going to go back and try and glean some fresh insights from some of the passages that you're probably familiar with. And I'll just say, if you didn't grow up in the church, please don't tune out. I think this will be valuable for you as well, because we are going to look at just some beautiful passages in Scripture that have so much richness to them because of the truths that are contained in them that should encourage us, that should challenge us, that should really, you know, almost cause us to second guess. Could this be true? Now, obviously, we know it is true because it's in God's Word, but that kind of stuff. So, if you grew up in the church or in a Christian home, you know, these passages you may have even memorized. Maybe some of these you have on your wall in your home. But I really hope in this series that you and I are struck in a fresh way by the amazing truths that we're going to go through today. You know, God's Word is alive and active. We just preached a sermon on Hebrews 4. And maybe that's why it's fresh in my mind, but God's Word is alive and active. And so I hope that these verses will come alive to us again if we have potentially taken them for granted. And I'm going to start off with one of the most famous chapters in all of the Bible, Psalm 23. You know, Psalm 23 is just this beautiful confession from David about the Lord being his shepherd and what that entails, what that means. So what I'm going to do is just read through the entire psalm, and then we'll go back and break it up. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Man, there's so much there. I just want to start out with the fact that David was himself a shepherd. David knew the love and care that he had demonstrated for his father's flocks, and he recognized that the Lord was his shepherd, protecting, providing, leading, and caring for him. And so at the very beginning where he says, "The Lord is my shepherd," if you're reading it, you'll notice that Lord is in all capital letters. This is Yahweh, the name of God, the Almighty God of the universe. And yet, David doesn't view him as impersonal. He doesn't view him as a God who just loves creation in general. There's a very individual, very intimate relationship that David has with the Lord. The Lord is his shepherd. David was one of his sheep. Yeah, I mentioned that David was himself a shepherd before he came king. If you think back to the story when Samuel came to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be the future king of Israel, David wasn't even home. He wasn't with the other sons. He was out in the fields tending his father's sheep, sleeping with them, spending time with them, protecting them. He knew that he was willing to put his life on the line for those sheep. David knew the protective love that a shepherd has for his sheep. In fact, we know that David had put his life on the line for his own sheep. And what a beautiful foreshadowing that God the Son, Jesus Christ, would put his life on the line. He would give his life for his sheep. David never actually had to give his life for his sheep. You know, he had to step in harm's way, but he never gave his life for them. But Jesus did that for us. So in 1 Samuel 17, we hear David talk about the kind of care that he had for his father's sheep. This is when he is letting Saul know, hey, I'd go fight Goliath. And Saul is saying, you're just a boy. This guy is a trained warrior. And David says, man, when I was taking care of my father's sheep and goats, when a lion or a bear came to steal a lamb from the flock, I would go after it with a club and I'd rescue the lamb from its mouth. And if the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. You know, I do a fair amount of hunting. I'm in the mountains alone a lot, and I always carry a handgun in case I were to happen across paths with a mountain lion. I cannot imagine grabbing a mountain lion by the jaw and clubbing it to death. Like David was a bad man, and he was willing to put his life on the line for his sheep. And I said this before, but that is exactly what Jesus did for us. And I find it interesting that Jesus uses this same analogy, obviously with the Hebrew scriptures in mind. In John 10, verses 11 through 16, this is how Jesus describes himself. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's only working for money and doesn't really care about the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. David recognized that the Lord was his shepherd. Jesus echoes that, and Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. All right, let's continue on in the passage. The next thing I see is that God meets our needs, and through Jesus, we can enter his rest. Now, even though we enter his rest, the Christian life will contain some dark valleys, but we don't have to fear in the dark valleys because our shepherd is with us. He is leading us through it, and he's protecting us during the journey. At the end of verse 1, David says, I have all that I need. Guys, we have all that we need in Jesus. Now, we may not have all that we want, but we have all that we need. And what is it from an eternal perspective that we need? If you really think about it, the things that we need from an eternal perspective is we need forgiveness of our sins because we need to be declared righteous before the perfect God who created us so that when we enter eternity, we can be welcomed into his kingdom. We can be welcomed into his presence. And Jesus meets both of those needs. David then says, he lets me rest in green meadows. Now, the green speaks of nourishment, right? That he's in these green meadows. There's plenty of feed there. And certainly through Jesus Christ, there is nourishment. But I really believe the focus here is this word rest. He lets me rest in green meadows. The author of Hebrews talks about this rest in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. He says, so there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. But if we disobey God, as the people of Israel did, we will fall. You and I get to enter God's rest because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, we still work hard. You know, I think of Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, almost everybody knows those verses. For by grace we've been saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. Amen. We are 100% saved by faith. Again, it is because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, his shed blood for us, that we can enter that rest. But then Ephesians 2:10 goes on to say that Christ created good works in advance for us to do. So we enter his rest, but that doesn't mean we don't work. What it means is we don't work to earn God's approval. We don't work to try and become righteous before God. You know, the Bible says that even our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. So why do them, right? Well, our righteous deeds are like filthy rags if we are trying to use those righteous deeds to earn God's approval, to somehow claim that we are deserving of his grace and mercy, because we absolutely are not deserving in it. Now, there are still trials. There is still hard work for the Christian. The Christian life is challenging, but we rest from trying to earn God's approval through our works. We rest from trying to be good enough for God to love us. Amen. Man, I live in a culture where so many people around me are working hard to try and earn God's approval. They're working hard to try and merit his love and his sacrifice. Guys, we can't merit it. The New Testament's very clear. If we have done anything at all to earn it, then it's no longer grace. It is 100% grace. We're not worthy. You know, Romans 5:8 says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we get to enter that rest. He lets us rest in green meadows. The next part of that also says, he leads me beside peaceful streams. Now, there are a lot of connotations to that, but I want you to think about the desert. Water is the source of life in the desert. You know, if you're ever in the desert, I live in Utah. I do a lot of exploring down in southern Utah. I am kind of a desert rat. I like the Red Rock Desert. I like the high desert of northern and northwestern Utah. And you can always tell where there's water, because that's where you see trees. That's where you see green. That's where you see wildlife. And so this verse is saying that he leads me beside peaceful streams. So not only is he leading me to where there is life, to where there is water, but these are peaceful streams. These aren't, you know, violent streams. These aren't streams that are going to wash me away. These are peaceful streams. The next part of Psalm 23 talks about God being protective and not restrictive. That's a theme that I hit a lot on this podcast because I think it's life-changing, man. I think when we get to the point where we recognize that God's boundaries for us are protective and not restrictive, it changes everything. So David says, his rod and staff comfort and protect. The boundaries of God are for our good and because he loves us. The laws of the Lord bring life and they revive our soul. He says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things here. Number one, David says, when I walk. He doesn't say, if I walk. Suffering and trials are promised to us. There are going to be times of suffering and hardship in the life of a follower of Jesus. Jesus said as much in John 16:33. He says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Now, I know that in that passage, in the context of that, Jesus is speaking specifically to the 12, but I think it is still applicable to us. And I think there are many, many New Testament passages that reinforce the fact that as believers, you and I will face suffering, you and I will face hardships. So again, David doesn't say, if I walk through the darkest valley, he says, when I walk through the darkest valley. But there's something even more telling here. I want you to go back to the shepherd analogy. If David was walking through the darkest valley, it's because the shepherd led him there. I mean, a good shepherd knows where his sheep are. A good shepherd is leading them to green pastures. A good shepherd is leading them to those peaceful streams that we read about. And sometimes the route to get there goes through the darkest valley. The shepherd knows what's on the other side of that valley, guys. He knows the journey is worth it. Now, sheep wander, and sometimes you get yourself in a dark valley because you went off course. I recognize that. That is true. So not every dark valley is the dark valley God chose for you, but God is sovereign. Even in the dark valleys that you're in because of your poor choices, God is still sovereign. He's still going to work that for your good. He's still going to work that for His glory. And Romans 8:18, one of my favorite passages in the New Testament, reminds us of this. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory He will reveal to us later. So that dark valley you're in, guys, it can't even compare to the green pastures that are coming, to the peaceful waters that are coming. And again, if you're in a dark valley, it's not a mistake. God is not unaware. He is leading you through it, and He's leading you through it, whether that was His primary cause, if He's the one who led you into that dark valley, or if that's a dark valley you're in because of your poor choices, He is still with you. He's still going to lead you through it, and He's still going to get you to those green pastures and those peaceful waters. David says in this section of the psalm that your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Now, there is some debate among scholars whether those are two separate instruments that would be used by the shepherd, or if it's essentially the same stick referred to by two different names. But in either case, the idea is of something that's used to protect and something that is used to steer and guide. So again, David didn't review the rod and the staff as restrictive. He viewed them as protective. Now, for you and me as New Testament Christians, the rod and the staff of God are primarily the Word of God, His written Word, and the Holy Spirit. Now, you could also probably say church authority, you know, spiritual leaders, but the primary way that God guides and protects us is through His Word and through the Holy Spirit. The Word of God tells us what to do. The Word of God tells us what not to do. God's boundaries defend us. Think of the ways that living according to God's boundaries protect you from so many of the dangers of this world. Now, there's still dangers. We still live in a broken and fallen world. You know, I use this example all the time, but I will never have to worry about an STD because I'm faithful to my wife. I've never slept with anyone after I married her. Well, I didn't sleep with anyone before I married her, for that matter, but and neither has she. So that's just protection I have in that particular area because of God's laws, because of God's boundaries. Listen to Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant and a great reward for those who obey them. Do you know who wrote Psalm 19? If you guessed David, you're correct. Again, David acknowledged, David recognized that the laws of the Lord were good for him. They were more precious than honey and more desirable than gold. The psalm continues, and David says, "You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies." Have you ever paid attention to that? The enemies are still there. God didn't get rid of the enemies. God didn't get rid of the bad circumstances. This feast is taking place in the darkest valley. Seems like a weird place for a feast, right? But the good shepherd is benevolently and generously providing a huge banquet, and he's protecting David. David's going to enjoy this feast. He's going to enjoy this table spread with God's goodness in the midst of his enemies. The enemies are still present. You know, when I'm going through something like that, I would be tempted to ask God, "Hey, God, could we change locations? Could we do a different venue here? Could we please do this feast without all my enemies around me?" And the awesome thing is, guys, one day we will. One day, as followers of Christ, you and I are going to join the most amazing feast. And at that point, sin and death and anything harmful is going to be nothing but a fading memory. David goes on to say, "Surely your goodness and mercy will pursue me all the days of my life. Just like a shepherd who is chasing after sheep that wander away, God is pursuing me. He is good. His love is unfailing. Man, I am just like a stupid sheep sometimes. Sometimes I keep wandering. Sometimes I keep thinking my way is better. Like I know the path. I know the way to get to green pastures better than God does. No way. God knows where the green pastures are. He knows where the peaceful streams are, and He will lead you there. But praise God that when we do wander, His goodness and His unfailing love pursue me. He comes after me. You know, we all know the story that Jesus told in the New Testament about the shepherd who would leave the 99 to find the one. That is the kind of God that you and I serve. That is the good shepherd. David ends with, "And I will live in the house of the Lord forever." What a beautiful reminder of our eternal rescue. That not only did Jesus rescue us in this life, I mean, my life is so much more meaningful, so much more abundant than before I knew Jesus, but it's not just for this life, that I will get to live in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus told the disciples, "I am going to prepare a place for you in my Father's house." Are you looking forward to that, men? I got to tell you, I am excited for the day when I get to live in the house of the Lord forever. And I get to do that all because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, because He lived the perfect life that I couldn't live, because He gave Himself as an unblemished lamb. What a beautiful picture here that Jesus is not only the shepherd, but Jesus is also the lamb that would be sacrificed for you and for me. No wonder David recognized that the Lord is my shepherd. So I hope the next time you read Psalm 23, you'll slow down just a little bit, you'll read it with fresh eyes, and you'll be struck anew at how good our shepherd is. I hope you get a chance to talk about this with someone, have this conversation with another guy. Thanks so much for listening today, guys. God bless you. We'll see you on the next podcast.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.